But we're going to begin, actually, by talking about sports. We got Dr. Deb Stroman here on the line right now to get things started this hour. Dr. Stroman, how are you?
Doing great. I know it's a little overcast and rainy, but we always have to remember the sun is shining.
Absolutely. Sun is shining somewhere, just not anywhere near here, right?
That's right. But there's a lot going on with sports. Certainly, UNC has had a great run this spring, as always. I know a lot of people have that expectation of having our teams in women's and men's lacrosse at the Final Four this year, but the level of talent, the championships that we're just so used to, we have to be okay when they still make it to the playoffs and they do well, but they fall short and don't get a national championship. But kudos to the lacrosse team.
And the men's tennis team as well, which just came up just short yesterday in Athens, losing to Virginia, but a great run for them as well. And obviously UNC basketball winning a national championship, and now you got UNC baseball getting set to take on Boston College. They've already had a great year, looking for bigger and better things as we get to the ACC tournament and then the NCAA tournament after that, which you know UNC will be in. So a pretty good spring. Just got the word earlier today that Tony Bradley, UNC basketball star, of course, wrapped up his freshman year, 7 points a game for Carolina this year, helping them win a national championship. But he's not coming back to Carolina next year. He made the announcement today was his deadline for making a decision, and he is reportedly moving on to the NBA. He's staying in the draft. He's hiring an agent. So he is a one-and-done, first one-and-done Carolina's had in 10 years since Brandon Wright back in 2007. So what do you make of Tony Bradley's decision?
Well, definitely I want to talk about Tony Bradley, but first, to your point around UNC baseball and men's tennis, almost programs in opposite directions in the sense that men's tennis made this incredible run this year, definitely not expected. We always bring in top talent, no doubt, but I don't think people expected that UNC men's tennis would end up in the final competition of the year. So a big, big salute to the UNC men's tennis program, and nothing but upward trends for them. And then, of course, baseball, they haven't been in the playoffs in a while, as in the College World Series. So everyone was expecting them last year to do it, but they fell short. Again, now baseball is back. So it's again, just a wonderful time to be a Tar Heel, just to witness this great athleticism being played out. And my understanding is that UNC baseball did secure a number one recruiting class for next year. So yep. We'll keep, I know it's tough for Tar Heels with the level of expectation, but it'll definitely be high for both programs, in particular for baseball going into the ACC championships and the national tournament. But Tony Bradley, you know, people were talking about how he did not have a great combine. And so this is an exercise of critical thinking and analysis around what it takes to be an NBA player or to play at the next level. He showed great potential in these NBA workouts with the teams one-on-one. I don't think he really displayed all of his talent this year. Well, when you're starting behind, when you're coming in behind a Kennedy Meeks, a Justin Jackson, he wasn't able to show all that he could do. Now, obviously, the coaching staff knew that he would be great because he got recruited to play here at UNC. But the NBA coaches, they took a look at him and they saw something in him. And as you mentioned, he's the first one and done in 10 years. So it's not like UNC is starting to move in that direction. I think Tony will do a great job in the NBA. Time will tell. We'll have to give him some, we'll have to be patient with him to see how he'll eventually turn it around and become a big threat in the NBA. But big shout out to Tony Bradley moving forward, taking the Tar Heel banner to the next level where we can continue to follow his career.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School professor, sports commentator, are you surprised by Tony Bradley's decision?
I am not surprised. I know it was not an easy decision for him. And again, I always go back to that analogy. If you're a first-year student and IBM or Procter & Gamble or Google said that they wanted to start you at $200,000 if you would leave after 1 year, and you had the ability to go back, and especially with all the different ways that we can access education today, from online courses to looking at courses in your particular geographical location, A lot of corporations have their own educational programs now. So it's not like we're saying to that student or to Tony Bradley that your education is over. But if you have this window and you have this opportunity to get involved in your career, how could you say no? The other perspective is, well, you need to wait a little bit. You can fine-tune your skills. You can develop more. Well, he's already won the national championship, and there have been too many cases over the past 5 years where players did come back and their draft stock went down. So if the teams say that you're going to be a first rounder, which means guaranteed money, and you get to you've already got your national championship, you'll always be a Tar Heel for life. I can't fault Tony Bradley for making this decision. Would I have liked to have seen him around campus and hopefully maybe had him in a class or two? Definitely, but that's being selfish on my part.
Speaking again with Dr. Deb Stroman, so let's move up a level to the NBA. A couple of pieces of news from the NBA recently. Obviously, the NBA playoffs are going on. Golden State is through to the finals after sweeping the Spurs in four. Cleveland's up 3-1 on Boston. Boston did get a win on the Cavaliers without Isaiah Thomas, but Cavs came back and won game four. So they're right on the verge of getting that last win and making it through to the finals, where it will be another rematch of Golden State Cleveland. It's just going to be those two teams forever, right?
Well, it seems like it's what everyone predicted. I like this because it goes back into the idea of around conspiracy theories. After Boston pulled that upset in Cleveland, everybody, you know, was calling out that the NBA is fixed, it's rigged. You know, the Boston, New York market is so strong that NBA is not going to make as much money if they have all these sweeps. But I do believe that Boston just played harder, and it's very, very difficult when you think about the level of play of these men, that once you get going, that momentum is there. It's very hard to turn it back. And I think Cleveland got stuck. They really thought that, okay, we'll just turn it on in the fourth quarter, or we'll give the ball to LeBron James. But Boston just had the momentum, and of course you cannot disregard the coaching analysis, the great work that Brad Stevens does for Boston. So with that being said, there's two thoughts. The Warriors, by having all this rest, will they rust? And of course, Steve Kerr is still being the locker room analyst. So the team goes in at halftime and gets all they need from Steve Kerr. And then of course, Coach Brown takes them, you know, when they're out on the court and coaches their success. So whether or not all this rest will hurt them. The other side for the Cavaliers, will they be battle-tested? So the Warriors have not really been tested, so to speak. And if the Cavaliers are able to beat Boston, will they be the ones who are more likely to be able to overcome adjustments and things that happen out on the court because they have been tested? You know, I still believe that it's going to be a 6-7-game tournament between the Warriors and Cavs. I still have not given up on the Cavaliers, although some people say that the Warriors just want to sweep them to make up for last year. But I know a lot of eyes are going to be turned on to this NBA Finals. A lot of money is going to be made.
And it's really remarkable. I mean, you talk about Cleveland as being more battle-tested. Cleveland's won 11 out of 12 games since the playoffs began, but they are, in fact, the more battle-tested because Golden State has won 12 in a row heading into this. Like, the two easily most dominant teams of these playoffs, and that's beating, that's beating teams like San Antonio and Utah, which are both really good, but Golden State just cut through those teams, and Cleveland's pretty much doing the same thing in the East.
Yeah, but something about this Boston team, most people would say that it's even between Tyronn Lue, head coach of Cleveland, and Brad Stevens being a young NBA coach. So that's even. And then you look at the All-Stars. Golden State is just loaded. Legitimate four All-Stars. LeBron has himself, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Love, three All-Stars. And then it's the type of ball movement that they play. It's going to be really fascinating. It's definitely going to be a chess match. But, yes, Cleveland has been rolling as well. But this Boston series, I think, is giving them a bit more than they – I mean, they knew they were going to be tested. I mean, people forget that Boston is the number one seed out of the East. But when you get LeBron James in the playoffs, you know, immediately he becomes the guy to beat, the team to beat. So very, very compelling drama for all the basketball enthusiasts out there.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman, and Dr. Stroman, we got to wrap up in a second, but before we do, one more development for the NBA earlier today. The league announced that the All-Star game was definitely coming back to Charlotte in 2019. This is confirming what officials had already hinted at before, but they made the announcement officially earlier today. This is following the sort of kind of repeal of HB2 by the General Assembly earlier this year, and obviously this is good news financially for the city of Charlotte. Charlotte in the state of North Carolina. It's good news if you're an NBA fan in the state of North Carolina. You want to go to the All-Star game. It's going to be close in 2 years. Is it sending the right message, do you think?
Well, the most important thing is that it is sending a message. Now, whether it's right or wrong, but at least the message has been sent. And I'm hopeful that with the NBA coming back and knowing how Adam Silver feels about the empowerment of all people, in particular LGBT, that this will be an opportunity for the NBA to continue to put the pressure on our governmental leaders to make the changes and to do the right thing. Yes, HB2 was repealed in the sense, but it didn't go far enough. And in fact, Adam Silver made that in his statement, that they want to continue to work with the Hornets organization. They want to work with all the venues, the hotels and businesses to try to do something about this. But I know talking to the president of the Hornets, Fred Whitfield, although it hurt them because they had made so many plans for 2017, but they said it might work out better because they had completed a contract with Nike and they want to be able to showcase Nike. Michael Jordan is Nike, the Jordan brand. So in terms of their merchandising and branding, that waiting a year or two could work out better for them for business reasons. But I know most people in the state of North Carolina want our state to be known as an open state, accessible to all, and that we don't discriminate. And if sport can be the one to shine the light on it, well, whatever it takes, but we just have to do the right thing.
Dr. Deb Stroman, Kenan Flagler Business School. Thank you so much.
Thank you.